A quiet revolution in southeast Michigan has begun making noise. Clintondale High School, about 9 miles north of Detroit, is attracting widespread attention for overhauling its approach to teaching. Clintondale used to rank among the bottom 5% of high schools in the state. 3 years ago, in an experiment led by our next guest, Clintondale flipped. The school began video recording its teachers' lectures and offering them online so students could watch them on their own time, at home or elsewhere. Classroom time then became devoted solely to small group projects, exercises, or lab experiments, with teachers roaming and interacting with the groups. Today, Clintondale High School is a different place. Failure rates down, graduation rates up, college attendance up, and the focus of growing national media attention. Here to talk about his no longer quiet revolution, Greg Green, principal of Clintondale High School in Clinton Township. Hi, Greg.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Really good. We're excited to have you on. So you video record your teachers' lectures, and then you get them online, and the students watch them on their own time, and then that changes the dynamic of your actual classroom time. What makes this flipped approach so much more effective?
Well, you know, I think it's the amount of support that our teachers give our students during the learning process. You know, I think that we all need expertise along the way, but I think that you know, in a traditional class, I think sometimes we're so worried about getting through the subject matter that we forget that, you know, students need that support process, and they can't always get that at home because parents aren't there and can't, you know, have a hard time following along, and some of the subject matter is rather difficult. So, you know, we'd rather have the expert who's been trained and goes through professional development, right there helping students along the way.
So it's really the nature of the teacher-student interaction that's really made the difference?
Yeah, because, I mean, if we look at research says that, you know, students need immediate feedback, you know, when they're going through the learning process. But, you know, when a student maybe might do an assignment, and when you have 150 assignments in class, you know, teacher may, hand it back 2 or 3 days later. So that means, you know, it's not as effective as someone who's helping you right then and there. And so we feel that, you know, that's crucial in our process, is that the teacher actually needs to be there, you know, helping, guiding the student, answering questions, you know, maybe giving some encouragement or giving a learning strategy or, you know, just clarifying something for students so they can make progress. And so, you know, instead of our students just having the, you know, not engaging in the assignment, now they, you know, they engage in it and they ask questions and they're much more, even more collaborative with classmates and so forth.
Now, the stats printed in a New York Times story last month were really quite impressive. You told them Clintondale used to have about a 30% failure rate, which you claim has dropped to under 10%. Graduation rates rose to over 90%, and college attendance went from 63% in 2010 to 80% in 2012. That's a dramatic amount of improvement. Can I get you to comment on that data?
Well, I mean, I think that we're encouraged by the data. You know, we're definitely not perfect by all means. I mean, I think that one of the things that we realize is that our data early on is significant, you know, for us. But I think, you know, it's a year by year and an ongoing process. And I think this is only the beginning of our, you know, of us evolving into a much better and more supportive place. And so I think that, you know, we're encouraged by having graduation rates that high. We're encouraged by our failures going down school-wide under 10%. We think that, you know, students being engaged when the support that we give them is, it's a much better model, you know, for us at least. So I think that it's encouraging. And I think that, you know, we might have found this proper structure that allows kids to excel in school. And, you know, that's why we're so popular among people.
You weren't the first school to try this, but Clintondale was the first to completely flip the entire school 2 years ago this fall. What was that transition like 2 years ago?
Well, I think, you know, we did it as a pilot program early on 3-4 years ago, and then we did it as a, you know, a larger group, a freshman center we flipped, and then we did the whole school because of the results that we were seeing and the feedback from our learners and our parents and teachers and so forth. So, you know, ours was in a gradual process, but the idea of the flip was, and just a natural one because of the results and the feedback and what students were actually telling us. You know, they really appreciated the amount of support that we gave them. They really appreciated that we're using 21st century tools to, you know, better support the students and parents, and making us much more transparent as far as the content that we're covering in class and the collaboration that we offer among students and teachers and so forth.
How much resistance did you encounter, Greg? I mean, did you encounter resistance from the teachers, the families?
Families, no, because they always had an issue with, hey, listen, I want to help my child, but I'm not very good in Algebra 2 or calculus or what have you. So that wasn't as difficult. You know, when you always talk about technology with, you know, educators, you know, there's caution thrown to the wind just because of, you know, recently we've used machines to replace people. But, you know, in this principle, what happens is, or this actual flip, the teacher becomes even more important in the classroom, because not only are they a content expert, but they're a learning specialist. They're someone that helps you get from A to Z. And we've seen that throughout life. We see that as coaches and tutors and, you know, piano instructors and artists. They show people the proper techniques and how to, you know, achieve their desired goal. So, you know, this isn't something new. It's just something that's come to light because we use the tools, the 21st century tools that are available to us.
How much did that cost? Did that technology, was that a significant sum of money?
That's the great thing about it, too. I mean, we couldn't invest a lot of money, and so it's relatively inexpensive. So, you know, the software, you know, there's free software programs out there. We looked at free platforms already that existed, and also platforms that integrated with mobile technology and so forth. So, you know, Google has plenty of free platforms, screen capture software that we use to make videos. You know, that's free. There might be some upstart costs as far as buying a desktop computer or a laptop for a few staff members, but, you know, it's relatively inexpensive.
I guess, you know, there's still no guarantee a student will watch the videos at home. I mean, what is that a challenge?
Well, I think that our teachers have done a good job, you know, holding people accountable, you know, for that end. I mean, it's still homework and still work that we have to do at home. But because the videos are short, we've given teachers the option, why don't we just throw it at the beginning of class to ensure that students have seen it. And so a lot of teachers, you know, make a five-minute video on why they're taking attendance or doing some miscellaneous, you know, things, getting assignments ready. They'll have the students watch the video.
Mm.
They also use what they call QR codes, which you see many of them in the communities and so forth, and we link our videos to QR codes. So if it's, let's say they're doing an assignment, they can just pull the video from their cell phone or from the QR code to their cell phone and watch it.
Do you need some kind of permission to do this, or some kind of sanction, or what was the process involved in flipping like this?
Well, I mean, obviously you need board approval, and so we went over the concept, and we had teachers and students talk to the board about this, and they were supportive. We also have talked to the state, this Michigan Department of Education, and going over this concept. And you know, that's where, you know, connecting it to research to make sure that you're making the proper moves and not experimenting with children and their education is, you know, key. So what we did is we connected it with, you know, guaranteeing that students are seeing, you know, a rigorous content, which is research-based, and also having on-time feedback is the couple pillars that evolve around research. And we also looked at others to make sure that, you know, collaborated with others to make sure we are on target.
You're attracting a lot of attention. What's the response been like from education theorists, let's say, to your school and to flipped schools in general?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, as most researchers, I think, you know, they always are cautious about, you know, initial results, and you know, we're encouraged by those. But, you know, we're looking to make long-term gains and create significant progress, you know, on all levels. And I think that, you know, and rightfully so, there's a lot of research that needs to be done. But I think, you know, what we've noticed is a climate change in our building. We've noticed improved results in our building. And I think that, you know, they're encouraged by that. I think Harvard came out with a vote of confidence, which, you know, is encouraging. I said, you know, there's a lot of controversy with traditional and online education, but what most people, you know, can accept is a blended approach that we talk about.
We're talking with Greg Green, the principal of Clintondale High School, Clinton Township, Michigan. His high school was the first to completely flip. They totally changed their approach to instruction, video recording teacher lectures, and then using classroom time for small group projects. What do you tell educators or administrators who become excited about this?
I think we've had lots and lots of educators talk to us, and obviously our story has grown to, you know, national attention, sometimes international. And what I tell them is that, you know, you have to do what's best for you. You know, these are things that are best for us. But, you know, the one thing that you can do is maybe use some of these tools if you don't want to flip your school or classroom. But you can use, let's say, video to help with the support of your students when they're at home. When you give an assignment and the student's maybe not there or parents need to follow along, video is a great way to do that. And so you can connect the 21st century tools to, you know, take some of the miscellaneous tasks away from teachers and, you know, put them more of an automated fashion so the teachers can spend more time with students and they can support the students in the classroom much more easily. I think that's the key. I mean, I think, you know, we can get bogged down in technology and all the technology and bring it all in the classroom, but the key in what research tells us is the teacher can have the most significant effect and the biggest effect on student learning. And so what we want to do is we want to make sure that a student has access to the teacher 24/7, and they also can get the support that they need from the teacher while in the classroom.
Very good.
We look for tools and technology that enables us to do that.
WKAR-TV airs PBS NewsHour every weeknight, and your school will be a part of an upcoming report on PBS. The crew is down there right now filming for this report, so we'll make our listeners aware of that. We want to thank you, Greg Green, principal of Clintondale High School, America's first full-time flipped school. Greg, best of luck.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.